What is up? It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Avery Carl. Great episode. Started off, of course, with two truths and a lie, followed up by a conversation about how Avery got into real estate investing and how that turned into 250 doors personally owned and helping thousands and thousands of other people get into the short-term rental market. We talked about what's possible in light of changing market conditions like inflation and interest rates and obviously increasing real estate costs. We talked about who struggles with this kind of investing. We talked about who thrives with it. We talked about what it really takes to get started. And then Avery closed with an awesome difference-making tip. I know you're going to love it. Let's go.
Avery, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
Okay. I cannot ride a bike. I am a collegiate athlete. And last, I am trying to think of another good one. And I had them all three right before we signed on. And I love the cold weather.
Okay, great. These are excellent. These are excellent. You can't ride a bike. You're a collegiate athlete. You love the cold weather. I'm having a hard time reconciling you being an athlete that's good enough to compete in college but can't ride a bike. But this is all true. And I know where you live. So that suggests to me that you don't like cold weather. So I'm going to guess that you do not love cold weather, Avery.
Right. I don't love cold weather.
Tell me about the bike.
I grew up in rural Mississippi on gravel roads. So I learned to ride a bike as a little kid, but just never really kept up on the skill. So I can get on one and get a few feet, but like I am not comfortable. I'm going to wreck. So
got it. And what sport did you play in college?
Soccer.
Played soccer. All right. So riding bikes on gravel, not awesome. Playing soccer, fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Good at that. Or was anyway. Couldn't do it now.
There you go. When was the last time you saw snow?
Oh, last time I saw snow, probably 2 years ago. We went to Montana to ski. That's my one caveat. I do love to go skiing, but I will not be in the cold weather if there are no redeeming qualities like skiing.
Right. Just being in cold weather for the sake of it is not getting the job done.
Yeah, my husband's from Omaha, and every time we have to go to Omaha for Christmas, I'm like, oh my God, why are you from here?
That's a fair point. He doesn't live there anymore, so yeah. Okay. All right, nice. What was it like growing up in rural Mississippi?
Wasn't terrible. I grew up in one of this. So there's two big universities, University of Mississippi and Mississippi State University. So I grew up in the town where Mississippi State University was. So we had a little more culture than the rest of Mississippi because we had so many people coming in from other places to teach or go to school. But, you know, it was definitely small town vibes. And I was really ready to get out. And I realized pretty early on, like junior high, soccer was going to be my ticket out. So I worked real hard so I could get out of Mississippi and see the world. And it worked out for me.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. Where did you do your undergrad?
Undergrad, University of Texas, and graduate at Belmont University in Nashville.
You played soccer at Texas?
Yes, I have a Big 12
wow.
championship ring.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, I was good back then.
Yeah, obviously. Obviously. Well, yeah. Very cool. Awesome. Well, excited to dig into everything. What is top of mind for you right now, Avery?
Well, top of mind for me is obviously the economy. I'm in the real estate business. We just finished up with the election. And, you know, what's going to happen? You know, I'm a real estate investor. I've got 250 doors myself, but I also own a real estate brokerage or a team within a brokerage. I got to say that or else I get in trouble with EXP. So, you know, my eyeballs have been on interest rates and the economy and when things are going to maybe normalize a little bit for a while.
What are you thinking?
Well, without being political, because I honestly, I'm not a political person. I love everybody. I don't care who you voted for. I'll still be your friend. And I'll never talk about who I voted for. But I do think that with Trump having won, I think that a lot of the things that he says he's going to do are going to be pretty inflationary, which makes me feel like maybe even though interest rates are a little bit high right now, might not be a bad thing to get some cash into some inflation resistant assets, like some more real estate. So I'm a little interested to see how all that's going to pan out.
I appreciate that. How'd you get into real estate?
By accident. I got into real estate investing because my husband and I moved to Nashville way back when it was cheap in 2012 from New York City. And our real estate agent at the time was really trying to get us to buy in this super hip, fast appreciating area of Nashville. And we were like, no, thank you. We're moving from Brooklyn to Tennessee. We're going out in the country. We are tired of neighbors. We lived on the third floor. We had first floor Steve and second floor Steve. Their names were both Steve in a three unit brownstone. And, you know, they would be like, oh, you can't wear your boots after 6 p.m. Just like annoying. No more neighbors. So we went out in the country, had my dream job, or what I thought was my dream job, working in the music business for $37,000 a year. Music business pays nothing, by the way, because it's sexy. And we had a little bit of money. Like, we just got married. We saved up like $10,000 and we went to a financial advisor because, you know, we didn't know anything. Thought that's what you do. So she told us, you know, we went in there with our money, like, what do we do? Help us be financially, you know, smart. And she told us that we didn't have enough money for her to bother with. And we're like, oh, cool. Well, we'll just go, you know, jump out the window then. So then our minds went back to like, oh, well, you know, this is about halfway there to a down payment on one of those houses that are in the hip part of Nashville. Maybe if we buy one of those, put a renter in it, that'll pay the mortgage. Then in, you know, when our future kids need to go to college, the appreciation from that will pay for their college and we'll be these great financial geniuses and all that. Terrible reason to invest, by the way, but we got very lucky on our first deal. The mortgage on that was $647 a month, and we were able to rent it out for $1,500 a month. And we were like, wait a minute, that rent check is like pretty close to what my paycheck is after deductions and stuff. And so we said, well, we need more of these. So then we started listening to podcasts, reading books, didn't even know it was called real estate investing at first. And we said, so what can we buy? We saved up a little bit more. We said, all right, well, what can we buy? Next thing we buy, what can we buy that's going to be make us the most amount of money the fastest so we can buy more? And we landed on short-term rentals. Again, this is back in 2014. So this is well before there weren't any YouTube people doing it. There weren't any gurus. There was no AirDNA. It was just you had to figure it out by yourself. And we knew we didn't want to do it in Nashville because the regulations were already terrible. But we'd just been on vacation to the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee, about 3.5 hours east of Nashville. We stayed in a rental cabin. All our friends stayed in rental cabins on that trip. And we said, oh, well, somebody owns these rental cabins. Why can't that be us? And we figured out how to manage them remotely from Nashville without having to pay a management company 40%. And the rest is history. Scaled 1 to 8 of those over the course of about a year and a half. After about 6 years, we'd gotten up to 250 doors, all different asset classes. We've still got 8 short-term rentals. We've traded around some, got them in different markets, beach markets, mountain markets. And then, started the short-term shop in 2018 to help other people buy short-term rentals as well. Now I've got offices in 20 markets. So now I'm like very, very, very heavy in the real estate industry on all fronts.
Did you ever go back to that financial advisor and say, you totally missed?
No, I thought about it. I'm like, you know, just sometimes just you just move on. But I do think about that. Like, thank God she told us that, you know, because what if we just given her our $10,000 and invested in whatever and we'd still be in the same jobs, probably the same house, no net worth. Like, thank God she told us that. I should thank her. I should send her like some chocolates or something.
Yeah. Consider that at least, Avery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably just better to move on, though, kind of exactly what you did. Okay. So how did you make the shift from being an investor to teaching other people how to be investors, or then to create your team within the brokerage? How did that happen?
Also by accident. So I got my real estate license because my husband is a New Yorker, and I, as a Southerner dealing with other Southerners who we're in the South, we, you know, we're very vibes. We're very polite. You set yourself on fire to keep someone else warm and you don't complain about it. So I felt like I was constantly having to apologize to these Southern real estate agents for my husband being super direct and kind of aggressive just because he's, you know, he's a New Yorker. And so I got my license so I could just handle him and not have to apologize to people for his behavior anymore. And really just for a little more speed on our own deals. And it started happening that we'd have friends who would say, how much money are you making on a cabin in the Smokies? Well, help me buy one. Teach me how to do that. And then it became friends of friends. And then it became true clients who we didn't know. And then it became more than one market. And it's just grown exponentially. So, you know, the best year we had was 2 years ago. We did $1 billion in sales. So it's been a wild ride. We've helped over 5,000 investors buy and sell short-term rentals. So again, by accident, just kind of following where the natural growth came from.
Well, that is super impressive. Great job.
Thank you.
Is it a system that you've developed that has helped so many different kinds of people to be successful? How did you create this? Is it dummy proof? Tell me more about this.
So it's not dummy proof. I think, well, you could be a dummy, but you can't be a rigid dummy. You have to be an adaptable dummy. And I think where people can really mess up with short-term rental investing is being too rigid and not adapting to the market. So, you know, oh, you did great last year, but this year you're not doing well. You know, is it because you need a photo update? Is it because your furniture's falling apart? You know, just not adapting. And we kind of, I guess it is like a process that we've developed just from, you know, managing our own short-term rentals over the last 10 years. But the clients that come in the door, you know, if you get the same question three times in a row from three different people, well, that's probably something we need to add to the process and get upstream of. So it's constantly evolving, but I would call it a process.
Got it, though. Got to be an adaptable dummy, not just a regular dummy. I think that there's probably some marketing to be done around that because I think it's awesome. Is it possible to be successful doing short-term stuff, regardless of interest rates and market, or are those really important?
It is possible, regardless of what the larger macroeconomic environment is. You do have to be in a market that the regulations are favorable for short-term rentals, so you don't want to be going into something where it's not allowed. We focus on vacation markets, on true vacation markets, like down here at the beach, mountain markets. We don't do too many metro markets for that exact reason, regulations and hotel lobbies and things like that. So it's possible to be successful at not necessarily any interest rate, but any interest rate that we've seen yet. It just, you know, maybe you're having to buy a property that needs some rehab to get it to where you need it to be income wise, or maybe add some amenities. So for me, I think buying the worst property in the best location, even like the best location within a market, is always the way to go. I think people get in trouble by getting nicer properties that are a little too far away that they don't have to do any work to, and then expecting to perform as well as the properties that are, you know, in the thick of things in that market. So buying a property that you can rehab, get that the income number to where you need it to be, you can usually outperform the interest rates when you do that.
Got it. Appreciate that. So going back to that first property that you got, $600 a month, roughly speaking, for the mortgage, you're making $1,500. That's obviously twice as much, roughly speaking. It's awesome. You mentioned that you figured out how to do it without management company. So it seems pretty obvious that the more money you have coming in and you're able to reduce your overhead, that's really what your profit is. Do you teach people to do all this without the management company, or how does that all work?
Yeah. So we teach all of our real estate clients how to self-manage their Airbnbs for free. So if you buy with us, you're coming to Management Monday while you're still under contract. We're going to teach you everything you need to know about getting it set up on Airbnb, Vrbo, the pricing tools that you'll need, the management software that you'll need to streamline everything. We'll go over best practices, you know, common things that you're going to run into, and just kind of a step-by-step setup. And we do all that for free because our goal is to make our clients so successful on their first property that they come back and buy more investments with us, maybe in other markets.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So you've created a system slash process for consistently onboarding people and teaching them, getting them coached up to be successful so they can turn around and do it repeatedly.
Yep.
Okay. And was that obvious to you? Or, I mean, it strikes me that some people say, I'm just not a systems person, because they recognize that it takes work and consistency to run systems.
Yeah. Some people will say that. So I think for us, it was just, I was competing with so much more experienced real estate agents at the time that I had to think, okay, what's my differentiating factor? Well, none of these other agents out here in the Smokies own and manage their own short-term rentals. They all either don't own anything, or they just send you to a property management company. They can't answer questions like, how do I find a cleaner? How much do you think this will make? So I just kind of made sure that I knew all of those things so that it made sense that when someone came to me, they wouldn't go look for anybody else because I had all the answers to the questions.
Certainly makes logical sense. turns out that it all worked. All right. So we talked about if we're not able to adapt, if we're not able to change gears or change course or whatever it might be, that we're probably not going to be successful. What are some of the things people who are listening say, okay, assuming that I find the right market and interest rates aren't 15%, then this might be right. But what are some of the things I have to have or I need to have for you to say, yep, this is for you?
I'm going to be really, really honest and really, really specific. Engineers typically have the hardest time with running short-term rentals of any other, I don't want to say demographic, any other background type. Engineers tend to think there's a right and only way to do everything, whereas there's really, you know, a number of right ways, and you have to find the right way for you, you know, maybe, or there's one right and only property that is the best property on the market at any given time. Well, when there's 1600 listings on the market and really only like probably 10 of them are worth looking at, like, you know, you don't have to go dig and analyze all 1600. Just, it's okay. You know, you could start with the 10 that are visibly just better than the rest of them. So the engineer mindset has a difficult time. We have plenty of successful engineer clients, but they have the hardest time getting into the right mindset of that adaptability and go with the flow piece. Yeah, I think that's it.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well, that's not it. You know who does really well at this is anybody who has worked in the service industry in the past. So, you know, even if that's bartending, waiting tables, you really learn a lot of soft skills in that industry that you can't learn in school in terms of dealing with different personality types without taking anything personally and making everybody happy. And I really think that the not taking things personally is very important because, you know, if somebody's got to complain about your property, like, oh, there was a stain on the sheet, you can feel offended. Like, oh my God, I would never have, my property is wonderful. I spent a lot of money on this. Why would you complain? Like, just calm down. It's all right. They're not out to get you. They just saw something on the sheet. No big deal. Just change it out. Typically, people who have ever worked in the service industry in the past will have a leg up on other people.
That makes a ton of sense. Be able to go with the flow a little bit, not take things too personally.
Yep.
Y'all made it happen with however much money it was. You just came up with the down payment for that first property. From a financial standpoint, can anybody do it? What is more ideal?
Anybody can do it. So there's definitely, The barrier to entry is higher than it used to be, but it's still absolutely doable. So, you know, there are great, wonderful vacation markets that you can still get great properties for under $200,000. So like Branson, Missouri, or Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I think that a lot of the rhetoric put out there by different influencers now is, oh, you got to have the mansion with the pickleball court and the pool, and you got to have a basketball court and all these crazy things. And like, yeah, that gets views because it's cool, but you as a regular person don't have to do that. Like I, as a very, very experienced real estate investor, none of my properties have any of that crap. They're all just cute, comfortable, nice places to stay that are as nice or nicer than the houses that these people live in. I think that that's important too. When people go on vacation, they want to stay somewhere as nice or nicer than their own home. So when you are looking at properties, I'll see people want to get caught up in the numbers, and numbers are very important, but they'll find, you know, a super cheap house and say, oh, well, what about this one? And they'll have to say, would you choose that one if you were on vacation? And then they'll pause for a minute because they wouldn't. But people get caught up wanting to tell themselves these stories like, well, you know, maybe somebody's looking for a discount. Maybe somebody wants to pay less. And I'm like, there's crappy listings that are better than, you know, the wrong style of house that they could stay at for cheaper. So, you know, always you want to make sure when you're buying properties that it's something that's going to be as nice or nicer than the demographic who you're catering to's properties at home.
Yeah, appreciate that. In terms of headspace, how much time am I going to need to invest in order to successfully do this?
Well, depends on the market, but there is a very cool loan product that you can use for this that you can't really use for anything else called a second home loan. Typically, the percent down that you need is 20% to buy an investment property. Some lenders will do 15, but you can put 10% down to get a second home loan. So if you can find one of those affordable vacation markets like a Branson or a Myrtle Beach or, you know, insert market here, you can typically do that 10% down loan. So your cash on cash return number will not look as, your monthly cash flow number will not look as good, but your cash on cash return number will, because you're putting down less. You have to save up, you know, only half of what most people assume is what you have to put down. So I would recommend going that route to get your foot in the door and start making some cash flow. But that's definitely something that's unique to vacation rental investing.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Once I've done that, once I am now the owner of a short-term rental, how much time am I spending on a weekly basis?
Once you own one and you're up and running, there's obviously some time intensiveness that's involved with getting up and running. Once you're up and running, maybe an hour a week, and not all at once either. It's just answering some messages here and there.
Got it. Nice. And do you find that people, once they have one under their belt, they want more at that point? Does it very much depend?
The majority of people do end up wanting more. I will say our average client, and this is average, so some do more and some do less. Our average client will end up buying four properties with us. And some people end up, you know, they end up selling within a year or two. You know, 50% of all real estate investments are sold within the first 2 years. I think because people, you know, get in there and they think they want to treat it like an alternative to like a stock market investment, but it's not. It's more of a business. It's a hospitality business. And a lot of times they'll just be like, this one isn't for me. And then they'll sell. So the majority of the time, though, people do end up wanting more.
It's really interesting to think about that, not as a stock market investment, but more of a hospitality type investment, which certainly makes sense to me. And I imagine the last thing you want is to get somebody in that's not going to have a good experience. So,
right. Right. And it happens. It happens to the best of us. You know, your HVAC goes out during somebody's stay. There are things that are outside your control that you kind of have to learn to troubleshoot. Just like, you know, if the kitchen messes up somebody's order and you're the waiter and they're mad at you, you fix it. It's not your fault, but you know, you handle it, you move on.
You got to go back to the table. You got to bring them their drinks and their food, whether they're mad at you or not, Avery.
Right. Right. And I mean, back in the day when I waited tables, I definitely had some people mad at me here and there.
These things are going to happen. Love it. Yeah. Well, Avery, we are ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
Difference making tip. Okay. So My grandfather in rural Mississippi, we called him Pop. He passed away 2008. He used to say, and the older I get, the more I find this advice like so valuable. If you call three people an asshole, you're probably the asshole. And what he meant by that was, if you're having problems with all the people around you, you are probably the problem, and it is time to take responsibility for yourself.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on. Sounds like Pop was a wise old guy. Probably a wise young guy first. So rest in peace, Pop. And yeah, yep. If you're calling everybody around you an asshole, you're probably the asshole. So
yep.
Avery, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they connect and get involved?
All right. So our website, theshorttermshop.com. Also Instagram at @theshorttermshop. We got a lot of videos on our YouTube channel, also /theshorttermshop. I have a book that came out a few years ago called Short Term Rental, Long Term Wealth on Bigger Pockets Publishing. And I've got another one coming out in February, and you can get that on the Bigger Pockets bookstore. So if you go to biggerpockets.com/smarterstr, it will take you exactly where you need to go to pre-order.
Awesome. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Avery your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to theshorttermshop.com and learn all about what Avery and I have been talking about. I almost called you Adrian, and then I almost called you something else. Follow him on Instagram and YouTube as well, and then pick up a copy of Short Term Rentals, Long Term Wealth. And then keep an eye out for Avery's newest book coming out soon. Maybe we'll have her back on to talk about that. Thanks again, Avery.
Thank you.
Finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.